Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. We are live at the New York State High School Football Coaches Association Clinic, and joining me on the podcast is the head football coach at South Park from Buffalo, New York, Tim Delaney. Coach, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm just excited to be here.
Coach, you guys have had success at your school, and you shared with me that, you know, what you've done there is really what hasn't been done there before. You guys were state champs in 2015. You've been able to just have a lot of success, get to the postseason, get deep in the postseason. And you mentioned to me that a lot of this is really you became a 12-month program. What I find interesting about, and we're going to get into, is what that means to you to be a 12-month program and how you help everybody, coaches and players, find the balance in it.
Yeah, I took over as the head coach at South Park High School 12 seasons ago. And at the time, Buffalo Public School football played in its own league, had no opportunity to participate in the state playoffs, and our program was a little bit in disarray. And, you know, we slowly built up. You know, we started JV from scratch. Buffalo Public Schools entered the section and were able to play for sectional championships and state championships, which made a drastic increase in the viability of Buffalo football. And our program kind of took a little leap as we, you know, as our coaching staff tried to build that 12-month program, and our kids started to understand that football, you know, football training and, you know, to have a solid program became a 12-month thing. We incorporated, obviously, an extensive lifting program, added gym practices, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11 thud camp. And, you know, we just try to make sure that our kids are thinking about football a little bit each week, and that has built us to the point where we've been, you know, more than competitive for the last several years.
And what was interesting to me, Coach, as you were sharing some of these things with me before we got going, was, you know, kind of a transformation for you as from when you were a young coach as to where you are right now. And you mentioned in the beginning, you know, feeling the pressure to do well, feeling some of the struggle of what you're trying to go into, and then yet at the same time, I guess, feeling guilty for not spending more time on things, that feeling guilty, I guess, to be able to have some balance. And, you know, as things change in life, right, you have kids, whatever it might be, you start to understand that and get it in perspective better. But it is very tough when you're a young head coach trying to find that balance.
I was 28 years old when I got hired, and I had, you know, obviously anybody that wants to be a head coach or, you know, is kind of aspiring to that, you have some grand ideas, and then you find out, you know, all the things that nobody's told you, or even if they told you, you didn't really believe all the things you have to do as a head coach. When I took over, we had one paid assistant, no JV football. Our kid, they had the program the previous year went 0-9. We had to find a way to make it exciting, make it important for the kids. And, you know, that slowly happens over time. But as, you know, at being 28, 29, 30, and not having instant success, you start to feel, you know, you start to doubt yourself sometimes. You start to feel the added, like you said, the added pressure of, you know, am I doing enough, when obviously you're doing a ton. And, you know, you start to build the relationships, and then you start to, you know, mold the staff the way that you want to have it, because, you know, every situation is different. Our situation was a little bit unique at that time. And, you know, as we started to succeed and the kids started to buy into the year-round program, you know, for me, my life changed a little bit. I was married at the time, but we had a child. So, you know, now I have a 5-year-old, and, you know, puts things in a little bit more perspective, and you have to spend time in other aspects. And I think that as a staff, you know, we only have one other coach in our staff is in our school. Everybody's either at a different school or does other jobs. So everybody's got to, you know, I kind of let guys, once the season ends, we let guys kind of branch out and do their thing and find some balance. And that leaves me as kind of the catalyst of making sure that we're solid in the weight room and going forward. But I'm a big time planner, put it all on a calendar and make sure that there's time for yourself, for your family, for whatever other activities you might do. Guys hunt, I play golf, whatever it is you do, so that you actually, you know, can continue on to be a real person, and the kids see that.
Right.
You know, that's important, and it's important that your kids play hoops or play baseball or play lacrosse or wrestle, whatever other sports they do, and that you let them, you know, be successful in those areas, as well as trying to keep that little bit of a line out there that, you know, hey, let's make sure we're still thinking about football. I mean, it's a fine line to walk, but I think that in doing that, we've had more kids buy into our program.
So looking back on that and thinking back to your 28-year-old self, knowing some of those things now, what would you tell that 28-year-old Coach Delaney to do a little bit differently than what his approach was at the time?
I don't know how much different I would have done it, but I think the number one thing is always building relationships.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds super cliche, and you sit in a clinic talk and you're like, is that really true? But it really is, because the moment that those kids really understand that, you know, you care, that your program becomes important to them, and those kids share that with the younger kids, and then all of a sudden you have your core group of kids that are always in a weight room, that are always at every workout, and that becomes infectious in a way that there's no other real way to explain it other than you have to have that those relationships with those kids in order for your program to grow.
You mentioned a lot of challenges with the staff, going from one paid assistant to where you are now, and still some challenges with really not having guys in the building, and that's not necessarily uncommon today. It's, you know, back when my dad coached, you know, you can move a staff from school to school and they find a way to get you in, and it just doesn't work that way anymore. How do you overcome those challenges from, I think, I guess, a communication standpoint between you and the staff, as well as that relationship building piece that you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing is finding the guys that are willing to do the work. You know, that's not always easy. It's not always easy. My first assistant coach was just gifted to me. You know, he's no longer with us, but, you know, you got this guy. That's how our system was in the Buffalo Public Schools back then. We didn't have a JV program. Two paid coaches, and that was it. As we joined the section, we were able to add some paid coaches. And then as those positions opened up, we were able to find some guys that really cared, that really wanted to be a part of the program. And that has made, obviously, a world of difference. Everybody's willing to do their part. And, you know, as a head coach, you have to find the guys that are willing to do their part, that want to be a part of it, that want to do the work and want to build the relationships with kids. So while our defensive coordinator, our wide receivers, defensive backs coach, they're not in the building, they have their relationships with their kids and, you know, with our program, that they might pick guys up and do workouts on the weekends, or that, you know, they make sure they show their face in our weight room. And everybody knows, like, the whole staff, the kids are important to all of our coaches, even though they might not see them on a day-to-day basis the way they see me. You know, that just goes back to the idea that those relationships are going to build, you know, are going to be the foundation of your program.
You talked about your program being a 12-month program, yet at the same time making sure that those kids are, you know, that they have some balance too, that they're out doing the other things that they enjoy, whether that's other sports or other activities, but at the same time still finding a way to do some of those things. How do you find that balance for them, I guess, within your schedule? Because we can say those kinds of things like, oh, you know, you guys go do your stuff, but then there becomes this pressure that they feel like, I can't do that, I just have to do this one thing. How do you overcome that? Because I think that's a difficult thing, and I see it happen time and again where coaches want that, yet they create an environment where those kids feel like they have to be there and they stop doing those other things.
I think the important thing is that making a schedule and including all of those ideas, right? So we open a weight for us, just how it works for us. Mm-hmm. Our weight room is open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Every Monday through Thursday that school is open from 3:30 until 5:30. Kids that don't play hoops are in there every day. Kids that play hoops might only come in and get a 30-minute lift before they go practice. And then, you know, when we get to the point of thinking about 7-on-7 scheduling, if a kid misses 7-on-7 because they have a basketball game and it's basketball season, you know, nobody is penalizing anybody for feeling that way. Why? And why does a kid know that? Because I show up to the basketball games.
Right.
So we're in support of our kids no matter what sport they might be playing now. Kids just blowing everything off. You want to have that conversation. Say, hey, man, we know we want you around. We need you around. And more importantly than me having that conversation is one of the team leaders having that conversation with them. And that's something that has grown quite a bit. You know, having the kid that's, you know, having a couple of kids who are having a lot of success in the weight room, trying to grab all those guys that are younger guys that might not be heavy into the weight room yet. And the kid that plays basketball, knowing that, you know, when basketball ends, yeah, you're going to be in the gym, you know, doing our gym practices or doing our next 7-on-7. And I think that because of all the things that we do, and we make sure that we go to different schools, you know, different fields to do those things, kids want those experiences. And you know, when it all boils down to it, you're any extracurricular activity, any sport, it's an experience. Mm-hmm. And you want to, as a program, you want to sell that experience to the kids as this is one of the best things that you're going to do. And I think that we've done a good job on that, and that's why we always look to do something a little different than other teams are doing, at least in our area. I know obviously lots of programs across the country are doing amazing stuff. We have a very limited budget and a different situation, but you know, we're the first Buffalo Public School team to play out of state in 2017. That hadn't happened before. We went down to Pittsburgh and we found a game and we played, and it was great. It was a great experience for the kids. We took kids, you know, for a number of years we would go to basically an outdoors camp where most of our kids have never been to a camping type situation, and that's where we practiced for 3 days. You know, we've done some different things like that, and I think that those are the type of things that really enhance a program.
And first of all, something that stuck out there, you know, to sell the experience. Now, I've been there, right? You create the schedule and you know, expect guys to show up and do this, but that aspect of it, to sell the experience, I think is so important. And I can remember back to a year where I guess it was after the, you know, our first year of taking over this program, we knew the days of the year that were going to be very poorly attended, and so we put team events that we created. Like, we had a strongman games on the one. We did another one where I can't remember the name of the hill, but we ran this hill, and you know, for all of them, it was like you said. I don't think we thought about it at the time that way, but sell the event, right? Like,
yeah,
this is going to be unique and cool. And maybe we take that for granted when we make the schedule and step away and just say, show up. That, you know, not really showing that this is an opportunity to grow, this is going to be something unique, neat. And really, it's on the coaches and to be able to make it something like that.
Without a doubt. And I think that comes with experience and knowing your kids and your program, what's the thing that's going to grab them. You know, we're hoping that this year, that maybe we might be taking the kids to like a ropes course for a team building activity prior to the season starting. That'll be something that guaranteed not one of our kids has ever done. So every program's different, every set of kids are different. You got to find the thing that's going to really be a team building activity, be that experience that kids are going to buy into and really want to be a part of. So I think it's all just, it really does boil down to like, what's the type of experience that you can have that you can have your kids have that leaves that lasting impression. And that's why you have kids come back and see you, contact you on social media, call you. You know, one of my favorite things always is get in the summertime, being in August, sitting in the office, getting your practice stuff together, kids are getting ready, and a kid from the past pops in. And unexpected, and it happens to us, you know, a handful of times every camp. Kids driving by, kids on his way to work, kids on his way to college, you know, class, whatever. Might be, you know, a kid that played for you 4 or 5 years ago. Hey, what's going on? And it's a great thing always for all of our coaching staff, because a lot of our guys have been there now, you know, for a number of years. And it's so great to see those guys come in, because, you know, twofold. You want to know what they're doing and, you know, what kind of success they're having in their life. And it's great to know that obviously you made enough of an impact that they're willing to, like, spend a couple minutes out of their day to come and say hi and share with you what they have going on. So, you know, some of those type of things, I didn't know 7-8 years ago that that was going to be the positive experience, and that was going to be impactful in their life. You don't realize it. You just do it. You pick kids up and you go to 7-on-7, or you do whatever you got to do. You make sure that somebody's got a ride home, and or you know, you make sure these meals are handled. You didn't realize, you know, you're just doing it because that's what you do. That's the job. And then you find out 7-8 years later why it was so impactful. And I think that those are the things that really drive home the important parts of your program.
Right.
And then you realize, like, oh, yeah, I got to make sure that we do X, Y, Z. You know, yeah, it's really important that we get film in, but that kid's going to do, you know, the extra reps because of the relationship you have, not necessarily because you watched Huddle, you know, this afternoon.
Right.
So, and that's really hard as a, I think that's hard for everybody to really understand, because we all want to get on the board. We all want to make sure that you know your alignment assignment, but it's so true. And you hear some of the top guys in the country really talk about that relationship aspect, and it's just really true. And you sit there as a young coach, like, you know, I got to make sure that I have the best spread package going. And that's not really the case, because everybody's running, you know, a version of this.
Yeah.
It's how you get it across to your kids and how hard those kids are going to work for you all year long.
Yeah, interesting stuff there. Coach, as I've listened to you talk about this, I mean, you do some things that do take a little bit of funding. And, you know, in the beginning, you made it clear there wasn't a lot there to work with. And I guess, you know, anytime you talk and listen to people, like, yeah, well, you know, we don't have the money to do something like that. I think there's a lot of things you can create those experiences within your school, but I do think it's unique to be able to get out as you guys do and experience some different things and be able to take them to different places, whether it's a college or another high school or whatever it might be, just to show them something else. How have you been able to do that? What have you guys done to be able to find?
Yeah, so the funds? You know, like I said, we're a city school. We do not have a booster club. We've never had a booster. There's never been anything such thing as a booster club. So we started running our own fundraisers, with not just running a fundraiser to make, you know, X amount of money, with something in mind, saying, okay, well, we know we want to go, and we started maybe in 2012, and we went maybe 4 years in a row or 5 years in a row where we took the kids out of town, you know, an hour away, to a remote area. And had practice, but it was a two-night overnight experience. The majority of those kids had never been out in the middle of nowhere in a camping type situation, and now you're together straight for, you know, 50 something hours, and you're, you know, practicing and all those things. And those experiences, used to go up and down the kids would call it a mountain because they'd never seen a mountain before, but it was, you know, up and down a hill, kind of through a ravine to get to this really bad practice field. But it was the experience, not being on the, you know, a perfect turf field and, you know, having lines and numbers. I mean, but that experience, those kids will never forget. We won't forget as coaches. And those are things. So how do you do that? You say, okay, well, we need to make $1,000. All right, we're going to have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. We're going to make $1,000. We're going to have a beer blast. We're going to make, you know, this. And laying it all out there. We got to raise X amount of money because we want to have this experience. And you just got to say, like, you have to prioritize. I'm going to do this to do it. So if you're a coach out there and you have a great booster program and you got a lot of money, don't buy the socks. Find a way to take the kids on whatever it is. Take them to Lasertron and, you know, some laser tag place or whatever. The experience is going to be great for those kids, because it's going to make the difference in a win or a loss at some point in your season, and you didn't even realize it.
Yes.
Because that kid's going to play harder for the kid next to him than he would have had you guys not done those things. You know, we got away from that because we ended up going out of town for a game. But it was the same kind of idea. All right, well, we need to raise enough money to take this out-of-town trip and play that out-of-town game. You know, and we want to get back to that. We want to, you know, make sure we're spending a day unfootball-related. You know, with just our kids and them, you know, caring about each other a little bit and going forward like that.
Yeah, I love that idea. I could think back to, again, one of the programs I took over as a high school coach, and we sat down and started looking at what are we doing, you know, with the money, you know, all the money we're raising. And, you know, I looked at it, and a lot of it was what I termed perishable, right? We were eating a lot of pizzas. We were getting a lot of T-shirts for the kids, and we wanted more out of that to, you know, to be able to go to a college camp, to to be able to just make a better environment for them in their locker room and spend some things that were going to make the experience better rather than walk out with a t-shirt and forget about that PTA. And we still did those things. It was difficult, you know, because the parents kind of got, I had already gotten into this mindset of I'm going to get my kid as much as I can out of this and we're going to get this t-shirt. And everybody seemed like from year to year they were trying to outdo the previous one without thinking about, you know, what you've been talking about here, you know, that idea of sell the experience. So I like that, you know, especially if you have to do it on your own, and I've done it too, and I think you're right. I hadn't thought about it, but it's more effective to say, instead of this is the amount, these are the things, these are the experiences. Yeah, you're going to have to get some equipment and those kinds of things, and I've done that before, but having that target and exactly get there, and we always found a way to accomplish those goals, I think that's a good approach to it.
Yeah, and every, you know, and that's what I try to explain to everybody. Everybody's situation is different. Everybody's program is different. Everybody's wants and needs are different. But what is the same is we're all coaching kids, and you have just going back to the relationship idea. You got to build the relationships. So is it going to be more effective for your relationship with the kids that you handed them a pair of socks? Or is it going to be more effective that you went on an overnight to this, or you guys went to a college camp or whatever? And everybody's got an idea. You know, did you go to the state 7-on-7?
Yeah.
You know, did you fund it so that you could go to the state 7-on-7? Or did you give them all a long sleeve t-shirt? I don't know. Maybe your kids really want long sleeve t-shirts and they're going to be super happy for you, you know, that you got them long sleeve t-shirts. I don't know. I know that for our kids, the experience outweighs the stuff. Doesn't mean that I don't want my kids to have t-shirts that have a big SP on it. I do. I want our brand to be out there. I want people to know, like, South Park football is doing well, all that stuff. But at the same time, when they come back, they talk about walking up and down the hill.
Right. Well, and I think you'll agree with this. The brand's not that logo. The brand is those experiences. The brand is the behaviors that come out of those kids and what they become in coming through your program. That's really the brand, not the things you could put,
without a doubt,
the swag, all that stuff.
And you know, you don't as a coach in it, you don't often hear people talk about your program other than if they're talking to you. It's not a thing that obviously happens on a regular basis. I was sitting in a game this year, listening, watching, scouting. Don't think I had an SP on, so nobody even knew who I was. It was a group of kids from the school that was playing, started talking about our program in a positive manner. Obviously, we've been successful, so they're talking about that, and you could tell, like, that it was, I think they were kids that had graduated, but you could tell that they were talking about us as almost like, man, that'd have been cool to play there. And that made me very proud, because you don't hear that. Yeah, people might say that to you, but they're saying it to you. So that you can take that with a grain of salt. But to hear people actually talk about our program as something that people would aspire to play at, that made me proud and know that we're doing the job that we're doing, and we're doing a good job.
Because we're at the New York State Coaches Association Clinic, and obviously a great lineup here, a lot of people you can learn from. You talked a little bit, though, about, you do like to go to the clinics, but Twitter being a big place for you to learn things. Talk to us a little bit about how that's become part of your professional development.
Yeah, I've been lucky. I've been coming to this New York State Clinic since I was 23. Craig Herzanski, who's the head coach at Williamsville South now, was he was the head coach at Canisius at the time, and I was on staff, and he brought me to this clinic. That was the first time I'd been to a clinic, and he really introduced me to the idea of professional development. And I've been coming since 2003 to this one, and then found the Glazers and been to a couple Nikes, and had the pleasure of speaking at a handful as well. But as we talked about, Twitter is such a great resource. So many football coaches, college, high school, all over Twitter sharing ideas. I've had conversations with guys from Washington State. There's no chance that I'm ever going to run into any of those guys, because they're all the way across the country for us. But it's an open forum, and it's a great way to really find new ideas. Same thing, you're walking into a clinic, you want to listen to a speaker, and you're hoping to walk out of there with a drill or a variation of something that you might do offensively or defensively. Twitter's a great way to make those connections and really have something right at your fingertips where, you know, you might not be able to go to a Glazer this year. You know, you might not be able to go to your state association clinic this year. I had to miss the state association clinic because my son was born the week of it. You know, that's the only one I missed. But those are ways to keep up relationships. Obviously, to get your kids recruited. You know, you can make a ton of contacts with guys who are out there. You know, college guys who are out there looking for kids. I think that Twitter has been, you know, fantastic in that idea of football coaches just having a wide range of communication amongst themselves.
Coach, we talked a little bit about the X's and O's, your offense, defense, and again for you, it's really built around these guys. You've talked a lot about relationships and the way you view how you're going to play your schemes is that you're going to fit those things to fit it to what you do well. It's built around the players, which I think is, you know, everybody talks about that. It's a very great place to start. But, you know, that means that you may look different from year to year. So you compensate that by not having to change terminology all the time, that you've set up a structure that accommodates those changes. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, if you grabbed a kid from 12 years ago and asked him what 91 was, he'd be able to tell you what 91 meant for us. Do we tweak things? Absolutely. We're no huddle now, whereas opposed to, you know, 12 years ago we huddled. But our terminology, our verbiage is all the same as it's been, you know, offensively, defensively, even special teams. We've been doing the same thing for a number of years. We might have two running backs instead of one. Last year, ton of 20 personnel. Year we won a state championship, ton of 10 personnel. Those things, you have to mold what you want to do to the kids that you have. Last year, ton of odd front defensively. This year we might be in more of an even front because we don't have as many linebacker kids running around. But everything stays the same. Everybody's name is the same. All the gaps are the same. You still run what you run, but you fit everything around who your kids are. And I think that makes it easy from year to year. I haven't had to base teach our passing game in 12 years. Because the kids teach it to themselves. So a new kid comes in, I don't walk into the gym on the first day of our gym practice and go over all of our route combinations, because the kids that played last year pop up, they do it, and are able to turn around and talk to those guys like, this is what you do. Now, of course, we're talking technique and how we want you to maybe run this route or do this certain thing, but when you stay consistent, the kids are able to talk to the younger kids and teach to themselves, and that is just a ton of ownership on your kids. How much more does your defensive end own that part of the defense when he gets to tell the younger kid, this is what we're doing, this is the call? I think that's been a lot of our success has come from those kind of things.
Coach, you've done an impressive job with how you've built South Park here, and I'm sure you continue to work on it in your own way. You shared a lot of great stuff with us here on the podcast, but if I were to say, Coach, pick one thing that you feel really gives your program the winning edge, what would that be?
I really think it's the year round. I think it's the year round commitment from our staff to our kids, and then the kids run with that idea. Whether it's weight room specific, football specific, supporting the kids and other things that they do in other parts of their lives, that is what has built us into what we've been able to become. And we feel pretty solid about, you know, like being able to be competitive at all times. We may not always win a sectional, we might not always win our division or win a sectional championship, but we feel like we'll always be competitive because our kids are willing to go that extra step that, you know, some places don't.
Coach, for our listeners out there, how can they connect with you to learn more about something they heard here today?
Two Twitter accounts that I run are my own personal one, which is at Coach Delaney SP2, and then our South Park football Twitter is at Sparks Football. And then obviously if you find me on Twitter, then, you know, I more than happy to share my other contact information as well.
Great. Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time here, and best of luck to you and the Sparks in 2020.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out all we're doing on Twitter at FBDEV Coach. Follow me on Twitter at Coach K Grabowski, and check out our systems for tackling, blocking, and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.